Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Today we are indeed blessed to be able to worship our God in spirit and in truth. In life, some people are leaders. And some are natural born leaders, you might say, in the fact that from a very early age they stand out in front and they are leaders of the pack, so to speak. And then others are trained to that end. Even though they may not be comfortable with it, they learn to be leaders in life. Others, though, are followers. They don't want anything at all to do with being out in front. They would rather stand back and follow the individual who does have the talent, the courage, the ability to lead. In part, all of us are individuals who mimic or follow others. Take into consideration, a lot of times we will follow according to our peers, children especially. They will follow after the ways of their classmates. Also, though, sometimes they will follow according to their parents, their dads or their moms. They look up to them, and they rightfully should look up to their parents. That is according to the Bible, as well as according to what I believe we would find in nature itself. And in that, they will not only look up to them, but they will look to their example and seek to follow that example in life. There are other people, though, that we will look to in life, our friends or professionals, those that are our mentors, and we will follow those individuals. And in that, let me suggest this morning that we as Christians need to be careful about who we follow, and that it's only those individuals who are following according to the will of God that we ought to aspire to be like or to follow in their footsteps. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. He says, "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ Jesus." And it's only those individuals who are imitating Christ that we ought to strive to follow according to their steps or standards. Let me ask you this. We've identified that we are by nature followers, from sometimes anyway. Also, though, that there are various individuals that we will look to and follow in life. What about our God? Should we indeed look at and to consider following God? I believe that we should. Why? Because God is our Creator as well as God is our Judge. And in this, though, I find is that some people are hesitant, very reluctant to follow after God. And today, I want us to understand that there is no need for us to be reluctant or hesitant to follow God. I ask you, why would you wait to follow God? To begin with, I want to draw our lesson from the book of Psalm 66. And from this psalm, we learn some amazing things about our God, as well as a call for all of us to be followers of God consistently in and throughout the course of our life. There is in a very introductory portion of this chapter, there is a call to glorify God. How do we glorify God? To begin with, we glorify God by accepting Him as God. We live in an age today where many do not believe in God. And by all means, that is not a glorification of God. As you and I look to glorifying God in our lives, God expects us to believe in Him. And not to just have a foundational belief in Him. Not to just have a very elementary understanding or belief in God, but rather to believe in God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to know that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. As we think in regard to accepting Him as God, also we need to understand is that not only must we believe in God, we must obey Him. And a part of that obedience begins in baptism, where that our sins are forgiven. And at that point then, too, we dedicate our lives to God, to glorify Him continually through serving Him each and every day. But not only serving Him, but also looking for and longing for the opportunities that God provides us, presents us, that we might also assemble together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And here at East End, we are indeed blessed with great opportunities to be together with those of like precious faith. On Sunday morning, such as what we are assembled to do today, we ought to honor God, to accept God, by being here every Sunday morning, but not only Sunday mornings, but also Sunday nights and Wednesdays, whenever the saints assemble together. Friends, also, we are able to glorify God by describing who He is unto the entirety of the world. Some people believe in God, but yet at the same time, they have what I described a minute ago as an elementary understanding of our God and our Creator. Mankind needs to understand that God is eternal in His existence. No one is responsible for God, but rather God is responsible for all things that we know in existence today, from the material universe even to our own lives. But with God, God has always existed and God will always exist. In His eternal existence, He is the Creator of all things. Also, though, He is the one who provides for us while we are here. Why do we have the good weather that we have, wherein that it provides everything that we need from an earth standpoint? It's because God is working behind the scenes providentially to make sure that He blesses our lives. Why are you and I able to go out and to work and to earn our keep? Because God blesses us with the talents, the ability to go out into good health, to be able to engage in life that we might be able to provide for ourselves, while God in reality is the one who is working to give us these blessings in life. But friends, also, as we speak in reference today about describing God to others, we also need not only to tell them about His eternal existence and Him being the Creator and the Provider. The world needs to realize is that God will be our judge. Not only will He be our judge as Christians, He will be the judge of all of humanity. All who ever have lived, who are living, or whoever will live upon the face of this earth. And therefore, we need to encourage mankind to come to an understanding of who God is and also then to embrace Him in life. But friends, also, I believe from this Psalm, Psalm 66 and verse 3, we understand is that we can glorify God by telling the great story of all that God has done. You see, God, in this context, has worked with the psalmist in a very personal and real way. But not only with him, he identifies a way in which God has worked with and through His people, the Jews, Israel, in the days of old. And yet at the same time, the way in which we would apply this into the world that we live today is to show that God recognizes, God fully understands that whenever we do things that violate His law, whenever we transgress the Scripture, either go beyond or don't go far enough, is that that constitutes sin in His sight. And that sin separates us from God. We're no longer able to be in a relationship with Him. And therefore, God needs to act, and He did act, in order to bring us back to Him, to redeem us. And because of this sin, we can identify with others that God sent forth Jesus Christ into the world. And that in sending Jesus into the world and Christ dying on the cruel cross of Calvary, now we find is that God offers us redemption. He provides a way that we can have our sins forgiven so that we are no longer counted as sinners, but rather as saints. And as a result then of our being counted as a saint, we are added into His body, the glorious body, the church. And hence, in this then, we are classified as heirs of hope, of eternal life, to be with our God someday. But you know, the world also needs to understand, and sometimes in the church, we also need to be reminded of this, is that God is long-suffering toward us. Why is God long-suffering, and what does that mean? It means that God suffers long, literally, if you take that context. It means that God is patient with us. It means that God is giving us time and opportunities that we would understand whenever we would violate His law. And He's like that with us as Christians, but friends, He's also like that with the world. And why is He like that with all of humanity? Because the Scripture tells us that He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come unto repentance. You say, well, why does He do these things? Because our God loves us. God loves those whom He has created after His image, and He wants every soul to spend eternity in heaven with Him. And a way also, though, that we can glorify God that this psalmist brings out, at least in part, is by sharing our personal experiences as His children. You and I need to share with the world the forgiveness that God has bestowed upon us. And not only telling them that God has forgiven us whenever we obeyed Christ in baptism, but also describing for these individuals, sharing with them how that this relieves such a great burden from us, knowing that we are now children of God, but also not only the fact that God has forgiven us in our obedience and continues to cleanse us as we strive to walk in the light, but then in like figure, that becoming a Christian has given us true purpose in life. I remember my life before obeying Christ. My life was about Kevin, or my life was about striving even from time to time to please others. And in this, though, God has given me, as He does with every Christian, a new way of considering things. It's not about the I, me, my thing, but rather it's about glorifying our God. And it's about understanding His will and then living our lives in compliance to the standards that He prescribes or commands of us. I'm reminded of what Solomon says concerning the purpose of life in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and verse 14. And this is paraphrased. He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, for the whole of man, the whole purpose, the whole duty of mankind is to fear God and keep His commandments." And being a Christian and seeking each day to glorify God, now we know that this is what our lot on life is really and truly all about. You see, not only does God give us purpose, but God also then gives us direction. And if we live according to the direction that God gives us through the New Testament Scripture, friends, you and I can also have hope with our God. As we think in regard to God calling upon us to follow Him, I'm reminded of the examples that we find that happened in Egypt with the children of Israel. You see, as we consider the way in which God worked with those of old, we find is that God is awesome. God is amazing. God is completely above anything or anyone that you and I will ever be able to understand in life. In Psalm 66 and verse 5, we read here, "Come see the works of God. He is awesome in His doing towards the sons of man." Friends, when I think about God, God is totally amazing. God is superior in every sense of that reasoning and even beyond. And as we think about God, we need to think continually about the awesomeness of God. How that He is responsible for us. And that someday, because of His love, if we live faithful before Him, we will be rewarded in that great and glorious day. But also from this context, we learn about the power of our Creator. Note verse 6, He says, "He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we rejoice in Him." Isn't that amazing? He's speaking in reference to the Red Sea. How that God parted the Red Sea and the children of Israel went down on their feet, with their own feet, crossing on dry land. God was there for these individuals. And we find is that as God parts the waters, there's no one who can do that today. And I find it interesting from a scientific standpoint is that scientists say that, well, with enough wind, direction in a tunnel standpoint, a point of view is that we might be able to separate the water a little bit, but we can't bring it about with dry land. And why is that? Because this is only something that God can do. It's something that only God has the power to do. And I'm reminded in the Scripture that the Bible tells us that with man not all things are possible, but with God everything is possible. And friends, you and I need to embrace this, but also to share this amazing thing about our God with our fellow man. But also from this context, we find the love that God holds for His own. God delivered these individuals. Why? Because He loved them. God chose them. God set them out as His people. And today, as Christians, we are God's chosen ones, not from a Calvinistic standpoint, not that we have nothing to do with our salvation, but rather we do have a lot to do with our salvation. We believe in God, we obey the gospel, but we are His chosen generation in Christ. And that's the key to all of this. We are predestined because to salvation in Christ, because that plan is predestined in Christ. And if we are in Christ, then we're a part of that predestined group. In this, we find, though, is that we are indeed special to God. And that God continues to work in our lives in amazing ways. God delivered them, and today God delivers us. God watched over them, and today God watches over us. God provided for them, and today God continues to provide for us. And God longed for these individuals to come to Him and to walk with Him. And today God continues to long for that day wherein that you and I will not only walk as His children here in this world, but that day when we will live eternally in heaven with our Creator in the end of this world as we know it. From this context, we are also introduced to God's plan for deliverance. Note verse 7. He says, He rules by His power forever. His eyes observe the nations. They do not let the rebellion exalt themselves. You see, the Old Testament is a picture of what God had intended and planned for in the future with Jesus Christ our Lord. As we look about the children of Israel crossing with their feet on dry land through the Red Sea, we know that that is a picture of the way in which we are able to come through the deliverance that God has for us in Jesus Christ our Lord, by submitting ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, that we then would come up out of that grave in a new state, a new way of life, to live our lives faithful before God. Not only did we find with regard to what we see with Israel in Egypt, we also understand the realization that Israel had from this context. They saw that their God rules over nature. Friends, not only do we understand that God rules over our lives, God is in control of everything. God has knowledge of everything, even our own personal thoughts or intentions in life. God is able to see all of these things as if He's looking at us individually and focusing not only upon us individually, I guess use it twice there. He's also looking at the earth itself as if He's focusing fully upon that at every given moment. And how does He do that? We question from a human standpoint, but we realize from faith is that because He's God. And God has all knowledge, and God has all power and all control. And Israel understood this, and today Christians also must embrace the same understanding of reality. But then in like figure, they saw that God holds faithful to His promises. Whenever God had said unto Abraham that He would make his name great, friends, He did that by establishing Israel. But yet at the same time, can you imagine if God had allowed the Israelites to have been consumed by the Egyptians? He would have failed in that promise that He had made to Abraham. But God did not do that. No matter how evil or wicked Israel was, from time to time, God was faithful in His promises, hoping that they also would come in compliance with His will. And today, we understand that whatever God promises us, we can trust. Why? Because He has demonstrated His faithfulness all throughout time. It's unlike man who is unpredictable. Our God is predictable. It's unlike man who is undependable from time to time. But our God is always dependable. And as Christians, we need to always believe this, but also to share that message with our fellow man. Israel, in like figure, saw that God has a worldwide concern for souls. You see, as we think with regard to this, salvation was not just for the Jews. And God wanted Israel to understand this, I believe, in part under the Old Covenant law, but especially as we come into the New Testament Scripture, they need to see is that salvation is for the Gentiles. And today then, in like figure, God would tell us is that salvation is not just for the Christians. We have an obligation to serve God. And a part of that service to God is going out of this building and sharing our faith, sharing the faith, the system of faith, the Bible, with mankind, and letting these individuals to see what you and I saw in our life before our obedience to Christ, is that our sin separated us from God, and give these souls the same opportunity or privilege that you and I had to obey the gospel, and that we share today to continue to serve and to be in the hope of God in the day of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see also from this context, we see that Israel saw a constant reminder of reasons to praise our God. They were told to praise God in worship. They're told to praise God continually in their life. And friends, you and I have every reason under the sun and above to praise and to glorify our God. God is good. From time to time on Facebook, I will see individuals post that not only is God good, God is so good. And I love it whenever they take the so and they'll have the S-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O, meaning God is just so good to us. He is. And not only does God want us to see this, God also expects us to turn to Him and to say, God, I know that You are so good. I realize that the blessings that I have in my life is not me. It's not some other man who's giving them to me, but rather, I have these things bestowed upon me because You are working mightily in my life or in the lives of mankind to make sure that these good things happen. We need to always give thanks unto our God, the Father. Why? Because He tells us to. Why? Because He deserves it. And why? Because we ought to aspire to thank the One who blesses us most in life. What are some lessons that we can also take and directly apply from this? Those who come to God find that He is gracious. In sin, sin beats us down. Sin makes us feel as if we are worthless, that we do not have meaning or purpose to life. But whenever we receive the forgiveness of God in baptism through the blood of Jesus Christ, friends, we are able from that point to understand just how merciful our God is and the love that He has for us. Seeing the way that we were compared to the way in which we are now in His sight, but also then as we begin to look beyond to living our lives faithful before God. And maybe more so then as we've reached new levels in our walk with God, looking back as to where we were gives us a greater understanding of the graciousness of our God. But then also, those who obey God find that He is always faithful. Friends, the way that God has operated in a faithful manner in the Old Testament and even in New Testament times, we can still trust that God's going to be faithful in all things to you and me. Why? Because that's who God is. It's impossible for God not to be faithful in the things that He says. Why? Because it's a part of His character. It's one of His traits. He's always going to exemplify this. And therefore, as we obey God and He promises us that He's never going to leave us or forsake us, we can trust that He's always there for us. As we seek to serve God and we fall short from time to time and we turn to God and we pray as a Christian, as one who has fallen short, and we know then that God is listening. Why? Because He said that He will. But then also as we're striving to change those things in our life, we know then that He continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Christ is still there. And then as we look beyond this life, those who are seeking each day to live faithful before God and they die in the Lord, what a blessing that is. The Bible tells us that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of His saints. Why is it precious? Because God knows concerning His faithfulness based out of our faithfulness to Him that heaven will be our eternal reward. You see, those who believe in God find also that He is all-powerful. No matter what it is that we face in life, with God, we're able to go through it. Now, it doesn't mean that we're always going to have it easy. It doesn't mean that we're always going to find that we're going to be delivered from whatever trial we face. But with God, we have the ability to go through it and understanding in like figure that as a result of our going through the fire, we will be stronger. We will be finer as a Christian than we ever was before having gone through the things of life. You see, also, those who live for God find that He is with them always in life. You see, God wants us to be successful. He doesn't necessarily want us to be successful in life the way that the world looks at success, meaning we'll have $1 million and a mansion on the mountain down in Gatlinburg or wherever. But God wants us to be successful in regard to spiritual matters, living a life that is centered in and around Him, looking for and longing for that reward someday. And God wants us to be successful in living with Him in that day. Are you a follower of God? If not, why not? Why do you wait? The longer that you wait, the more likely it is that you will never be a follower of God. There will always be something, if you allow it, to hinder you in becoming a Christian. And it might even be to the point of death or the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you with His call.